And in the unlikely event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, an oxygen mask will drop down from the ceiling. Please take the oxygen mask first, and then help infants and children put their mask on with you. Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the captain speaking. We anticipate our arrival to be as scheduled. When we reach altitude, I'll turn off the fasten safety belt lights, and you'll be able to move about the cabin. But please remember that while in your seat, to keep that safety belt fastened. We hope you enjoy your flight to Egypt. This is your captain flying with Pontius, the pilot. Tuesday was the celebration. Jesus is born. The angels announced it. The shepherds came and they praised him. The Savior is come into the world. And now in our Bible reading today, everything is different. Now, Mary and Joseph and Jesus have to flee to Egypt, or Jesus will be killed by the tricked, the angered, and the afraid for his title, Herod. So the family fled. Herod killed all the children 2 years old or younger in Bethlehem, all the male children. Do you know that often this passage is kind of broken apart in our readings? It stops after verse 15, they went to Egypt, then picks up after verse 20. The part with Herod killing the innocents is wiped out. And why take that out? Because it's not all that happy. It takes a lot of the joy out of the Christmas story. It's much easier to turn the flight to Egypt into a vacation. And the flight to Egypt for Joseph and Mary and Jesus wasn't a vacation. That slaughter of the innocents, it's a reminder to the people who first heard it and then read Matthew about the life of Moses, the killing of the firstborn sons, and how Moses and the people of Israel struggled to endure and then to overcome slavery in Egypt. And it reminds us that Jesus did not enter a world that welcomed him really in any way. It's even an irony that Jesus went back to Egypt, from where the people of Israel were slaves, to escape being killed by Herod. Yeah, there's no sparkling tree or family gathering to sing carols. As a matter of fact, you know, on that first Christmas, even before the flight to Egypt, there's rejection in Jesus' life. How about his birth? I mean, we have this celebration of Jesus' birth, but remember that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room for them in the inn. But do you remember why they were in Bethlehem to begin with? It was a census, a big family reunion. Do you think nobody in the family had a room to spare for Joseph and Mary? Nobody would let a pregnant fiancé in. I think Joseph's family had rejected him because Mary was pregnant. And so Jesus represents for us the outcast. Jesus is the homeless. Jesus is the nobody everyone turns away from. Jesus is the reminder of a life of struggle. Jesus is the person voted most likely to not succeed. Jesus is that annoying neighbor who plays their music way too loud. Jesus is all those people who make your skin crawl. But Jesus is our Savior. Not the Savior just for the ones who dress right or who have everything that they need. Not just for the ones who regularly attend church and Sunday school. Not just for the one with enough money to pay all their bills. Not just for the ones who keep their yards well kept or their children's faces all clean. Not just for the ones on any community-approved lists. Jesus came for everyone. And whenever Jesus seemed to be limiting this good news that it's for everyone, it was at the expense of the ones who called themselves followers of God. You can remember the stories with the Pharisees. See, Jesus spent his time reaching out to the outcast, the homeless, the nobodies. But look, I'm getting ahead of the story of the Magi, or not the Magi, after the Magi of Herod, getting way too far ahead. We're still on this flight to Egypt. Joseph followed where God directed. The Magi followed where God directed and went home without revisiting Herod. They went where God directed. So So that brings up a question for today. And the question is, where are we going? And by we, I could mean Sunray United Methodist Church, or the United Methodist Church, or the whole of Christ's Church. Where are we going? And how are we supposed to know where we're supposed to go? If someone got up in church today and said, I had a dream last night and God told me that we needed to, I think perhaps the rest of us would either start to laugh a little bit or pay that person very little mind as we went on to the discussions about the direction we should be headed. I'm not going to tell us where to go today. I don't know any better than anyone else here, but I can offer advice on how to trust that where we are going is where God wants us to go. And that first question that we should ask is, does it make sense with God's teachings? For instance, Jesus called the two most important commandments. Do you know them? One is love God. And the other is love your neighbor as yourself. They asked, who is your neighbor? He said, everyone is your neighbor. Love God, love everyone. The two most important commandments. And so, if we're thinking about where are we going, you've got to ask yourself, does it make sense with that? Psalm 148, it's a call for all the inhabitants of the earth to praise God. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling His command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to Him. Praise the Lord. We've got to ask, when we're wondering where are we going, does it make sense with all of that, praising God? Let everything praise God, because God is worthy to be praised. Then in Galatians 3:28, we read, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. We're trying to figure out, where are we going? Does it make sense with that? Titus 2:11-13 says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with self-control, with right conduct and devotion to God, while we look forward to that wonderful event when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. When we're thinking about where are we going, does it make sense with that? Does it make sense with the two rules, love God and love others? Does it make sense with praising God in all things? Does it make sense with not casting anyone out or rejecting anyone? Does it make sense with living our lives soberly, righteously, and godly? Jesus is the outcast. Jesus is the homeless. Jesus is the nobody everyone turns away from. Jesus is the reminder of a life of struggle. Jesus is the person voted most likely to not succeed. Jesus is the annoying neighbor who plays their music way too loud. Jesus is all the people who make your skin crawl. Jesus is our Savior. And so, where are we going? Amen.